you would, take your Bible and open it to Exodus. We will begin there momentarily in Exodus chapter 3. Of course, today is Memorial Day weekend, tomorrow being Memorial Day, and we have over the years turned Memorial Day into a weekend. So I suppose for some folks, they've had extra day off or two from work, and that's always nice. But we do Memorial Day not so that we can have barbecues and whatnot, but rather to remember. And there are some things in life that we do not want to forget. Memorial Day was formerly known as Decoration Day, and it actually originated after the American Civil War to commemorate both the Union and Confederate soldiers who died in the Civil War. And I believe the Civil War is still one of the most, if not the most, horrific wars that our nation has ever had. It's always worse when brother fights brother. But that's what a memorial is, and so I trust that you will remember those that have paid the greatest price so that we can have days like this and not be harassed or have our freedoms stolen from us, as does happen in so many places around the world. And of course, there's always that constant fight between liberty and tyranny. Tyranny is always at the door, and from time to time, the tree of liberty must be refreshed with the blood of patriots. And so unfortunately, that is the case. The founders said that it's been the case, and because there are always those who would take from us our freedoms, and until the Lord returns, that's something we'll just have to put up with. So we want to remember, and we don't want to forget. There are many things in life that we do want to remember, and there are some things in life that we want to forget. Have you ever, I did this the other day, forgotten what it was that you were supposed to remember because you forgot? I was, trying to think of something. I can't remember what it was now, of course. But I just couldn't put my finger on it, and bless you, couldn't put my finger on it. And then I thought, well, when I get a chance, I'll sit down and figure it out. And then I couldn't remember when I did sit down to figure it out. I forgot what it was that I was supposed to remember because I forgot. So when it comes to memorials, we don't want to forget. It's a memorial is designed to remind people of a person or perhaps an event. It comes from the Latin memoria, which means memory. And the title of this teaching today, and what I'd like to cover with you, is Forget and Remember. Both forgetting and remembering are things that the Word of God tells us to do. And while that may seem paradoxical, both forgetting and remembering are functions of memory. Here in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good land, into a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. That famous record of the burning bush and the call that Moses, perhaps one of the greatest men to ever walk for God, the call that God gave him that day to deliver the children of Israel from the hand of Egypt. And, of course, for many years after that, Moses led the children of Israel. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he, God, said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say to me, what is his name, and what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. And of course, if you were to look at the Hebrew, you would find that the word for Lord there, which might be in all caps on your Bible, and if it is, then that's an indication by the translators that it is the word Yahweh, which of course is God's name, which has been bastardized into Jehovah. That is his name, that is his name forever, and this is his memorial unto all generations. And of course, this record here is the first record in the Word of God where the English word memorial is found. It's significant in that the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt has been memorialized to all generations. And of course, the final of the 10 plagues that beset Pharaoh because of his refusal to let God's people go, that final plague when the angel of death passed over the children of Israel and yet took the lives of the firstborn of all, both man and beast, that too was memorialized and put into the memorial service known as Passover. And of course, Jesus Christ is our Passover, and communion, which is an acknowledgement of his sacrifice, the accomplishments thereof, is a memorial service that we do. Now, sometimes people think of memorial or memorial service as kind of a mournful thing, because we talk of memorials when somebody dies, and of course, again, this being Memorial Day weekend, it is to remember those who died in defense of our country and its freedoms. So, in a sense, a memorial can be a thing that brings to mind things that perhaps are hurtful and sad, but also can bring to mind wonderful things. The main point of it is, it's neither to be understood as sad or joyful. It is to be understood in its context, and a memorial is to remember. To memorialize something is to remember it, to not forget it. In the Word of God, the Passover is not to be forgotten because of what God did in his deliverance of the children of Israel from Pharaoh. In like fashion, he has delivered us, every Christian and everyone who will become a Christian, from the servitude of sin, the slavery of sin. We were slaves to sin. We've been set free. And also physical slavery, bondage that the adversary makes certain some people get. We're delivered from that as well. So the devil in that sense has been defeated, and evil in that sense has been put down. So we are to remember that. And it begins right here in the Bible with this record where Moses, walking along, saw this miraculous event, this phenomena of a bush burning, and yet though it was burning, it was not being consumed. In Psalm 72, if you go there, speaking of God's name, not to be forgotten, Psalm 72. Forget and remember. So we're going to remember certain things. And remembrance is a function of the mind. It's a faculty. You have faculties in your mind, and one such faculty is the ability to remember. And if you exercise that faculty, the faculty of being able to remember things, memory, it will strengthen. It will weaken if you don't use it. And I fear that much technology today has made it possible for people to not utilize the faculty of remembrance, memory, as in times past. I think the greatest experience I ever had with exercising my faculty of being able to remember things was while in Bible college, because we were asked to retemorize scripture, which means retaining your memory scripture. And there were many, 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 many verses that we were supposed to retemorize or memorize and retain in memory. And because of doing that, my faculty of short-term reintegration memory was greatly enhanced. Just like if you exercise your physical body, it becomes stronger. If you do bicep curls, your biceps get bigger. And so it is with your memory. But technology today and the different things that technology has offered people has made it so that you need not exercise your memory. Consider the speed dial, for instance. You don't have to think of... I used to know everybody's phone number in areas that, you know, I served as a minister where we had hundreds of people. And so I literally had, I don't know, 300-400 phone numbers memorized. I have difficulty remembering one phone number these days because of speed dial. And I can remember using a day timer before digital things became popular. And I remember thinking about the day timer damaging my memory because I didn't have to remember certain things. I carry a little notepad in there with addresses and phone numbers, and so who had to remember anything? And then the next thing you know, you've got speed dial and so many other things. Yes, iPads, and the list of these digital devices that make it so you don't have to remember anything is it's getting longer all the time. And as great as that may be, as convenient as that may be, it harms the memory. And of course, as you get a little older, your short-term memory suffers a bit. I do believe that that can be aided by exercising your memory, which, of course, that would take a concentrated effort to do that, no matter what age you are. But as you get older, there are just more things in your mind, and so your mind has to really search for certain things in there. And sometimes the stuff from 30, 40, 50 years ago is right there, like that. But some of the recent stuff is not there because it needs to get cataloged and filed and everything, just like in your computer. And if you know you get a lot of stuff in your computer there, it's hard to find certain things too. If I look at my word processor these days, and if I don't take some of the files out of there, it's so huge, the files that are in there, that it's sometimes hard to find a particular file. And the same thing is with your memory as you get older. But you can exercise it to remember. In Psalm 72, verse 17, we read, His name, God's name, shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Verse 19, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And of course, most people today don't even know God's proper name, sadly. Psalm 135, but some of us do. Psalm 135, not something we're to forget. How would you like it if I forgot your name? Ever forget somebody's name? See, I don't forget a face. God put this software in my little brain that I can pick a face out. I don't care if you're wearing a costume. I don't know who you are. Pretty good with voices, too. But sometimes not so good with names. Maybe because there's so many names that I've come across over the years. I don't know. That's a good excuse, I suppose, but just an excuse. We should remember people's names. And especially if you recognize a person's face, it becomes awkward when you can't remember their name. I run into people sometimes up here, and I know who they are, but they don't know who I am. So I could be a good spy, I suppose. Anyway, in Psalm 135, verse 13, we read, his mercy endures forever. That's 136. 135, Psalm 135. I skipped one here. Verse 13. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. One of the Bible versions that I read rendered this verse as follows. O Lord, your name is eternal, and the memory of you will have no end. Look also in Acts 10. Now God has a memory, the greatest of all memories. Acts chapter 10. Here's a great passage here. This is the first Gentile on record to be saved. It's also one of the first mentions of faith in the book of Acts. And here in Acts chapter 10, regarding Cornelius, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared God with his whole house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he, the angel, said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And then, of course, from there, he gave him directions what to do to get the apostle Peter to come and share God's word with him so that he and his household might be saved. God keeps our prayers in mind. He does not forget them. Prayer is a reminder in his sight, and he records them, those that are according to his word. So when you pray, it puts whatever it is that you are praying about in God's mind, and it is a reminder in his sight, and he makes a record of it. Look in 1 Corinthians 15. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't forget your prayers. We, however, on the other hand, often pray and then forget when we get the answer to that prayer that we did, in fact, pray for whatever it was that God answered. This is why George Mueller used to record all the answers to prayer that he received. So when he would pray, he knew what he was praying for, and once he got an answer to the prayer, he would record that. And many times we forget. We even forget that we prayed for such and such. I've had times, perhaps you have, where you go, you know, I did pray for that, and whatever it was came to pass. Why? Because God keeps it in his mind, keeps a record of it. Here in 1 Corinthians 15, which is that chapter on the resurrection of Jesus Christ and also the resurrection of the just, and we read in verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I have delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then it continues about the resurrection appearances of our Lord and the validity of the resurrection as it relates to Christianity, and then it goes into the order of those being raised from the dead, starting with Christ and then those who are his at his return, and that is the pretty much the essence of the chapter. Of course, there are great details in this chapter, but remembering that it is a chapter on reproof, you have to realize that those in Corinth were forgetting about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were forgetting about the importance of that. They were forgetting about the promise of his return and the resurrection of the just. And I have known many people over the years who, once having walked away from the Word of God, after a certain amount of time, even forgot what it was they believed or why they believed in the first place. I've known many people, sadly too many people like that. Because when you walk away from this Word of God, pretty soon you forget. If I were to have a quiz on different things from the Word of God that we have covered over the years, I am quite certain that very few people would pass. Because if you don't have your head into the thing, if you don't exercise your memory, you will forget. And here he says, you keep it in memory. You're made whole by keeping it in memory, unless what was preached was in vain. Because if you don't remember, what good does it do you? I'm not just talking about making Jesus your Lord, but people even forget that and walk right back into the worldly things that they had walked away from in the first place. And how bad life was, how awful life was, how miserable they were, before they came to the Word, and then after being in the Word for a while, all of a sudden they don't feel, you know, like they really got any benefit, and they forget where they came from. They forget where they came from because they forgot what God did for them. And one of the things we never want to forget is what God has done for us. Kind of like the children of Israel, who, again, that was the first record in the Word of God where the English word memorial is used, beginning with Moses being called when he saw that burning bush, and then leading into the deliverance of the children of Israel from Pharaoh and Egypt, and the slavery that they were in, the bondage that they were in. It was cruel and bitter. I mean, this was the kind of thing where, you know, they were so miserable to the children of Israel that the work that they made them do, which was hard labor, they made it harder. They didn't try to make it more efficient and more productive. They tried to make it more difficult. Instead of giving them better building materials, they took certain materials away so that the building materials that the children of Israel were forced to make in slavery were even more difficult to make. So they put a heap more and more and more upon them. And of course, you know, they didn't treat them well. Even at some point, well, actually before Moses was born, where they were taking the firstborn, the male children, and putting them, drowning them in the river. So, you know, this was an awful thing, and yet they were in slavery for a very long time, hundreds of years, and yet after being delivered, not even a month after the fact, or in fact even shorter than that, they hadn't even escaped, and already they were complaining, why did you do this? Would you bring us out here to die? We were happy in Egypt. They'd already, in that short period of time, forgotten how miserable life was. How miserable life was, and now they were delivered, and the word is clear. God delivered them. He brought them out of Egypt with a high hand. None of them were sick, and they had some of the wealth of Egypt they took with them. And yet, they weren't even out of there that long. That's one of the records that's contained in the history and the events regarding the children of Israel, Moses, his deliverance and leadership of those people, and of course leading up to the Passover, and that whole thing is to be a memorial. The whole thing, we're to remember it all, and what did they do? They forgot, and so that to us should be a reminder. I've seen people do that. I've seen people forget how bad their life was and how much better as a Christian, with a little bit of knowledge of God's Word, their life had become, and yet they go right back to that same old lifestyle. Truly, the proverb is as real today as it ever was, as the dog returneth to its vomit, so does a fool return to his folly. Or the sow after she's washed from her mire back to the filth and the slime. And boy, that is something. If you remember what it was like, you won't go back. If something's really bad, you don't want to do it again. If you've had an experience that, you know, just flat out sucked, you don't want to repeat that. Nobody wants to repeat something bad, and yet people do it all the time. Go right back to the same old, same old, same old. So we are to remember. We are to remember. We are to keep it in mind. Keep it in memory. What was preached unto us. What changed our lives. And not be like the Corinthians were. And of course, the essence of it was they forgot the significance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which of course would mean that they would also have to forget the significance of the promise of our resurrection at his return. Look in Philippians 3. So it's something you want to remember. Do not forget. Philippians also reproof. Great verse here. The Apostle Paul, on record, by revelation, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, or attained, arrived, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting. So we're supposed to remember, and yet by the same token, we're supposed to forget. Now, wait a minute. In one moment, we read that we should remember all of this stuff, and now we're reading, we'll forget that which is behind. Well, the forgetting here about things that are behind means you don't try to cash yesterday's paycheck. You don't count the things that took place yesterday as having any validity for the decisions that you are to make today. You're not supposed to decide what to do today based on whatever happened yesterday, good or bad. Good or bad. Yesterday I watched some MMA. I was blessed and fortunate enough to see a bunch of it on TV. I had to record it, you know. That's why God made DVRs, right? Because I couldn't do it during the day. I had other things to do. But when all was said and done, and I did accomplish everything I set out to do yesterday, real blessed with that. Not the least of which was study the word for a teaching. But anyway, this one MMA fighter who won his match, and this guy's getting better as he's getting older, which is extremely unusual. He had lost his last fight, and he won this one, and he was very, very impressive in his performance. Well, when he was interviewed, because they interview impressive performees or performers after these fights, and the interviewer asked him, said, well, were you you're more hungry in this fight than you were in your last fight? Well, what a difference. And he said, no. He says, I was hungry in the last fight, just like I was tonight. He said, just came together for me tonight. He made no excuse. And that's probably why he gets better as he gets older. Having watched boxing and, you know, martial arts, being an enthusiast of that over many years, I've always noticed, as anybody who watches combat sports would note, that when any fighter loses, it has a deleterious effect on their psyche. They seem to have a very difficult time getting back on track. I mean, you could take a boxer, for example, who's been, you know, he's been at the top of his game, he's the champion, he loses one fight, and boy, it just takes him forever. They can fall into depression. And of course, the boxing fans don't help, because you're great until you lose, and now you suck. So that is the way they are. That's the way they've always been. But this guy was impressive because he did not make excuses for his past performance. He said he was every bit as hungry then as he was last night, the difference being it just came together for him. And we just cannot base our day today on what happened yesterday, whether yesterday was good or bad. We are to count it null and void. It has no bearing today. And I just told you that I had a great day yesterday. Got to do everything that I needed to do. This was, you know, along the lines of stuff that was wanting that I needed to get done. And I can't base today's accomplishments on yesterday's. Just can't. Forgetting those things which are behind. And that's what that's talking about. And that's an exercise of your mind, to forget. You have to exercise your mind to forget, just like you have to exercise your mind to remember. And I've seen people, in fact, I was just talking to my lovely wife, I believe it was yesterday, about individuals. So we were talking about where we used to live in this one place in the Bronx, in Frog's Neck, which brought to mind some other things. And it was 29 years ago. And 29 years ago, this month, the man who got me interested in the Word of God fell asleep. And there were people who didn't like him, and they came out of the woodwork after he died, of course. 29 years after the fact, some of these people are still whining and bashing dead men. 29 years. That's a lifetime. My youngest daughter is 28. That's a lifetime. She's a grown woman now. 29 years. And the more I thought about it, the more incredible it seemed to me that people could hold things in mind. Or you didn't like this man or whatever. I personally liked him. But if you didn't like him or whatever, it's 29 years ago. Get over it. Get a life. Talking about stuff that happened 29 years ago, or even more actually, because the man died 29 years ago. This is May. It was May 1985. And it just... it made me think as I was putting this teaching together. Actually, it didn't have any bearing on this teaching, but it certainly lends credence to this, because you know people like that, they just live in the past, they just can't get over stuff. And they take whatever it is that happened in the past, and that is the basis for their actions now, today, and for their preparation for their actions tomorrow. Because they are basing their performance, or the things that happen to them, their fears, their failures, their shortcomings, or their successes on today. It's invalid. It's all invalid. Forgetting those things which are behind. The Apostle Paul said, I do not count myself to have arrived. I'm not at that place where I'm at the pinnacle. But this thing I do. I count those things that happened in the past, null and void, as it pertains to the things of today. And I reach for, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's great, great advice. Look, great psychology. What do you think most people, you know, they talk about these individuals who do these horrendous things and they blame these individuals, they blame the things they do on things that happened to them in the past. And psychologists and psychiatrists alike have given credence to that kind of nincompoopery. Yeah, they're nincompoops, and so a nincompoop who's engaged in something like that is engaged in nincompoopery. Or as my favorite cartoon character Bugs Bunny would say, what a maroon. But they do that. Well, these people did that to me, so I, you know, my, and the psychologists and the psychiatrists have given credence to this. Well, you know, his grandmommy gave him cold oatmeal. And that's why he's become a serial murderer, because grandma gave him cold oatmeal. Poor guy. Get over it! Cereal. Did you get it? Cereal, oatmeal. Did you get it? You just now got it, right? You got to be quick. But you got to get it. Cereal. Anyway, there is no benefit. There is no basis. There is no profit. There is no use to applying the things of yesterday to the things of today. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Look what God does. Thankful he doesn't do what people do along these lines. Hebrews 10, verse 14, for by one offering he, hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, that offering being Jesus Christ. Wherefore, the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he hath said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. God forgets your sin. When God forgives, God forgets. When you got saved and you received the benefit of Jesus Christ's sin offering, of his being the sacrifice for your sin, mine and the whole world, at that point when you received that, all your past sin and iniquity has been forgiven, and God forgets. He doesn't remember it. People don't do that. And, you know, sometimes that's a bane, and sometimes it's a blessing that we can remember certain things. But God forgets them. And so if God has forgiven you from something or for something, why would you think about it anymore? Why would you, you know, irritate and aggravate and persecute yourself for something that God has forgotten? But yet people do it all the time. You must exercise your mind, the faculty therein that allows you to remember. You must exercise it also to forget. Look in Luke 17. In like fashion, there's things you want to remember that are from the past. Luke 17, verse 32, Jesus Christ is on record. This is one of the shortest verses in the Bible. Jesus wept being the shortest, this being maybe the second. It's only got three words in it. Verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Well, just to get a little context, go to verse 26 of the same chapter. Verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day of Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. This is a comparison between what it's going to be like when the Lord returns. Everybody thinks things are going to go on and keep going on like it is, just like they did at Noah's time, just like they did in Lot's time. And then just like that, everything changes. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down and take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Not return back. Remember Lot's wife? Who shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. She turned back. They left Sodom, this awful, horrendous place, and she turned back. She looked back. Well, it doesn't just mean that she, you know, just looked, you know, like a rearview mirror kind of thing. It means in her heart she wanted to go back. She didn't want to leave that. And so she became a pillar of salt. Salt, of course, is, biblically speaking, it's a purifying agent. It's a preservative. And it indicates fidelity and integrity. She didn't have any of those things. Therefore, she became a monument to her own unbelief. Hence the pillar of salt. This woman who wanted to go back to whatever that lifestyle that she had there represented, whatever conveniences, whatever it was, whatever benefits, whatever she had there was all contrary to God's will. All of it. And when she wanted that, as opposed to the freedom and the liberty and, you know, the salvation that was available, she became a monument to her own unbelief, her own lack of integrity. How ironic. No integrity, no fidelity, a pillar of salt representing fidelity and integrity. Remember that. Don't turn back. Don't look back. Whatever you've left behind in your former life as an unbelieving Gentile or an unbelieving whatever, don't look back. Don't look to go back to the world and the worldly things. Matter of fact, look in Luke 9. While we're in Luke, latter part of the chapter, verse 57, it came to pass that as they went the way, a certain man said to him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head, no certain place. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, suffer me first to go bury my father. Well, his father wasn't even dead yet, but what they would do is they would have, you know, the son would be responsible for that. And so Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, or let the city bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. You haven't got time to, you know, wait, let me get this done. Oh, no, wait, you know, I'll do this, but wait. I can remember years ago, this friend of mine who was a Jew, he was raised as a Jew, but really I think down deep he was a Christian, and I witnessed him, and he told, well, I believe, but I can't really go for it because, you know, I know my lifestyle, I don't want to sacrifice my lifestyle, but when I get to be a certain place where I think it's about over, then I'll make sure that I accept Jesus as Lord. I remember I told you about that. And I thought to myself, well, what are you holding on to? That's what these guys are doing. Same thing. Well, I'll follow you, Lord, but wait, I got to take care of this first. Yeah, I'm into this. I'm into giving it everything I got, this word of God, but I got other things, you know, that I must do. It's like turning up at the teaching center to hear a teaching. It seems that so many times other things take precedence. All of a sudden, they're more important than hearing the word, whatever it might be. And so it is here. Well, and another said, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my house. I got things to do before I can get to this. You don't know what's going to happen in the next 15 minutes, the next 5 minutes. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what's on the menu in the next few minutes. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I didn't say that, he did. Well, looking back again, it's not a rear mirror type of thing. It's in the heart, looking back to whatever it was that you were delivered from. And then, you know, he uses the example of a plow because it was an agricultural community and they would plow with animals. And if you're plowing with an animal or even in a tractor, you've got to pay attention or you're going to have crooked rows. Especially if you have animals and you got a team, unless they're perfectly matched, you know, they're going to get off, something like that. So you've got to, the driver's got to be paying attention. Well, in life, if you start looking back to the things of the world that you came from, if you forget how bad that was, and you think that was good, like maybe Lot's wife thought, or maybe the children of Israel, we had, you know, flesh pots. Really? They didn't have flesh pots. They were throwing their children in the river, beating them with rods and whips, and taking away building materials to make their hard, incredible life even harder. And I'm sure there's much more that we don't even know about that the Egyptians did to the children of Israel. And yet, they're looking back. Why? Because they forgot. Well, let's keep our furrows straight. Let's keep our hand on the plow. That means get to work. Pay attention to the Word of God. And don't look back to the world. Look in Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Remember now thy Creator, verse 1. In the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when they shall say, I have no pleasure in them. It's going on here, different. It's an Orientalism, it's a long one. But it's talking about what happens to you as you get older. When the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, you know, you're weak, your knees are shaken. The strong men shall bow themselves, you know, you're bent over. The grinders cease, you got fewer teeth, and also there's not that sound of production in the house. That's what the grinders are, you know. In the lands and times of the Bible, they'd be grinding wheat and grain, and that's production, that's work. You know, as you get older, there's less of that going on. There's more sleeping and less working. Well, you don't wait until all of that, because they're few and that look out of the window are dark and your eyesight's dim. Read the Bible now while you can read it. What about if you lose your eyesight, then you can't read the Bible anymore? Which, you know, it's what happened to my Uncle Nick, because he's read the Bible all his life. And now, you know, his eyesight hurts and hard to read. You can pray for him. I pray for him every day. You can pray that his eyesight is brought back, restored to where he can read his Bible. But, you know, my heart broke when he told me that. Imagine if you couldn't read your Bible anymore. How bad would that be? People don't read their Bible, and, you know, they got it. They can read it. They got it. We're here, you live in a country. This is Memorial Day. Men have died so you can do this without anybody bothering you. And people don't do it. They don't take advantage of it. Think about that. Read your Bible now. Don't wait. Remember the Creator now. Don't wait. And the doors are shut in the street and the sound of grinding. Verse 5, and when they shall be afraid of that which is high and fears in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. You know, white hair. And the grasshopper is a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. He's talking about a memorial here now, and more like along the lines of a funeral. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Well, don't wait until all of that. Wait until you're old. And yet, young people are too busy doing many, many, many things that are not necessarily godly related. Which is not to say there aren't plenty of great Christian believers who are young. There are lots of them. But you know what? There needs to be more. In fact, the only ones that can reach those are the young people. There's some really great believers who are young. But youth in and of itself is, as my nanny used to say, youth is wasted on the young. That's what she used to say. It's true. Look in chapter 12 here of Ecclesiastes in the 13th verse. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ephesians 2, last place. So we are to remember, and we are to forget. And though that may seem paradoxical, Ephesians 2, it's a question of what it is we are to remember, and what it is we are to forget, and why it is we are to remember what it is we are to remember, and why it is we are to forget what it is we are to forget. Context, context. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that in time past, ye being Gentiles in the flesh, called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, every one of us being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, every one of us strangers from the covenants of promise, every one of us having no hope and without God in the world, every single one of us. None of us should get too high and mighty if we can remember that. What God has delivered us from, don't forget that. Doesn't mean you're supposed to live like that. Doesn't mean you're supposed to, you know, want to go back to that. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he's our peace. Who hath made both one, Jew and Gentile, broken down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you that were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. No more strangers, no more foreigners, fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through or by way of his Spirit. And then it says in that third chapter, after expounding a little more on the mystery and other things, it says in that 14th verse, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We all should bow our knees unto him and forget what it is we need to forget and remember what it is we are to remember.